big insiders, the big controversies, the big debates. Steinberg, Kerr, the big show. Sportsnet 960.
Let's talk some baseball with our Major League Baseball insider, Dan Shulman. He joins us every Thursday on the big show, but with an early Jays game tomorrow, push back to today as the Jays continue their set with the New York Yankees. First pitch coming in just a couple of minutes. So the Blue Jays are having an awful time at the plate. They can't seem to figure it out there. And here we are almost two full months into the season, and it's still happening. Dan Shulman from ESPN Sunday Night Baseball and Sportsnet's Blue Jays Baseball joined us a little earlier today, and we started, Will and I, by asking him, is it a concern now? When will it be a concern? Should we be worried right now? Here's Dan Shulman, our Major League Baseball insider.
I think they're at that point already. I mean, this is a pivotal stretch they're in right now. They play the Yankees, then they go home, play the Red Sox, play the Yankees again, then they go to Fenway, play the Red Sox again. They got some series with the Orioles coming up. I think it's already a major concern. They're dead last in the majors in batting average with runners in scoring position. They were first in baseball last year. They're last in baseball this year in that category. And I think management and the players are very concerned. They've activated Devin Travis, so he's in the lineup tonight, looking maybe to get a spark from him. Also, Troy Tulowitzki's out a couple of days, it looks like, with that quad injury. But that's just one guy, and you don't want to assume that he's going to be a savior or anything like that. He needs a little time to get his timing back at the major league level. They just need the guys with track records to hit like they've hit over the last few years, and right now most of them aren't doing that.
Let's start with Travis, who does return tonight. You're right. Don't want to put too much pressure on him and call him the savior, but how much of a potential is there that he can be a spark in this lineup?
Well, I think it's possible, but, again, he's hardly played in a year, so I think they have to wait and see what he looks like against major league pitching. He's batting eighth tonight. John Gibbons just said about 20 minutes ago in his office, if he swings the bat well for a couple of days, then they'll consider moving him back up to the top of the lineup where he was last year before he got hurt. I think, the Bautista leadoff thing, it was a change generated to, maybe change their luck a little bit. It really hasn't seemed to have that much of an effect. They hit a little bit better in Minnesota, but Minnesota's the worst team in the American League right now. So, I think with Travis, they want to wait and see how he does for a couple of days. It looks like with Tulowitzki out, Travis will get a chance to play consecutive days, 2-3 days in a row, whether it's righties or lefties doesn't seem to matter. And if he's swinging the bat well, I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility that he'll be leading off pretty soon.
You mentioned Troy Tulowitzki out for at least a couple of games. How much of a hole does that leave if this lingers a little bit longer?
Well, I think Ryan Goins, he's a natural shortstop, and I think he's a great defensive player. So I really don't think they lose much there. If this is vintage Troy Tulowitzki offensively, then obviously they lose a lot. But if Devin Travis can do offensively what Troy Tulowitzki's been doing, then they don't lose much. But again, it could just be a couple of days. And there's a lot up in the air in the middle infield right now. How long until Tulowitzki comes back? How well does Goins play short? How well does Travis swing the bat? What's Barney's role now? So they're kind of in a state of flux at those two positions. And I think the players will determine the lineup. If Travis hits, he's going to play. And if Travis hits, then eventually it'll be Travis at second and Tulowitzki at short. Mm-hmm. If Tulowitzki needs a while, or if Travis doesn't hit, then Goins and possibly Barney both still get some playing time.
You mentioned the name Bautista. Jose Bautista has his one-game suspension appeal tomorrow. It is just one game, but what's your feel? Do you think the league upholds that one-game suspension?
I think they probably do. I thought their comments were kind of vague in terms of why he got suspended. Part of it was for post-game comments, and I don't think he said anything inflammatory in the post-game comments. I don't think he should have been suspended, but I'm not sure they're going to overturn this one. And I guess we'll find out tomorrow morning. And if they do uphold it, then he's going to sit out the game here tomorrow. But I don't like their chances of getting it reduced, although I think they've got a pretty good case. I would just like to hear baseball say, here's exactly what he did that got him suspended, because I don't think the slide was worthy of his. The punishment for the slide is smoke was called out on the double play, and they did that. So I think they already were penalized for the slide. He got up and he glared at Odor, and Odor glared at him. And then Odor shoved him in the chest, and then Bautista cocked his fist, and then Odor hit him in the jaw. So I don't think that really anything, you know, a little thing here, a little thing there, and they add it up to a one-game suspension, it kind of doesn't make sense for me.
He is Dan Shulman from ESPN Sunday Night Baseball and Sportsnet Blue Jays Baseball joining us here on the Big Show this afternoon. Will?
Well, Dan, the team the Blue Jays are playing tonight is the New York Yankees. They're red hot right now. 6 wins in a row, 8 of the last 10, they came out victorious. Your thoughts on the Yankees? Are they maybe turning things around a little bit? And if so, why?
Well, why they've won 6 in a row is their starting pitching has been fantastic. So they've had, over the last 6 games, their starter's ERA is under 2. You're going to win a lot of games when you pitch that well. And as we all know now that Aroldis Chapman is back, came back on May the 9th with Betances, Miller, and Chapman. If they're leading after 6 innings, good luck trying to beat them. So, but I don't think their starting pitching can sustain this. I think they're just on a really good run right now. You know, Pineda's got a history of being inconsistent. Can Sabathia keep delivering good starts? What's Nova going to be like? Evaldi's a hot and cold kind of guy, although he looks like he's pitching better lately. I think they're playing a little bit out over their skis right now because of the starting pitching. So, you know, teams have runs. Good teams have runs. Bad teams have runs. I think the Yankees are an average team. And for them to be good, in addition to good starting pitching, they're going to need A-Rod, who it looks like he's going to be back tomorrow. They're going to need him to hit. They're going to need Teixeira to hit. You know, Beltran's been crazy hot recently. Nobody stays as hot as Beltran has been. They're going to need these older guys to do reasonably well for them to be a good team. I think they're a decent team, but I don't think they're a playoff team.
The Red Sox are pacing the AL East right now with a 28-17 record. All that pretty much thanks to the amazing streak from Jackie Bradley Jr., who extended it to 28 games yesterday with a double off the wall. He's now halfway to DiMaggio's streak of 56. And I guess just maybe a thought or two on his streak, Dan, is because he's 2 games away from 30, a mark that the major leagues hasn't seen since 2011.
Yeah, it's amazing. If before the season, if you had said to me or anybody who, you know, follows baseball on a regular basis, you know, pick 100 guys who could have a hitting streak of this length, I don't know that Jackie Bradley Jr. gets mentioned, but it is amazing. Red Sox people say that he's being much more aggressive. If he gets a good first pitch fastball, he's swinging at it instead of getting himself into 2 strike counts. Obviously, confidence is a big part of this. He had a stretch last year, not for this long, but where he hit like this. And then he went ice cold after that. And that's always been his MO, is to be a really streaky guy. It also helps, you know, Ortiz is hitting like crazy, Bogarts and Betts. And they got so many offensive weapons in that lineup. It must feel to Bradley like he's always coming up with a couple of men on base and there's nowhere to put them. They're throwing him strikes and he's hitting them. You know, he'll come back down to a level somewhat below this, but I think they've got a good player on their hands. I think Jackie Bradley's really turned a corner and is going to be a very productive player for them.
Matt Harvey's had a rough 2016 with the New York Mets. He suffered his league-leading 7th loss of the year yesterday. His ERA is now over 6, and he's allowed a league-leading 73 hits as well this season. Where are you on Matt Harvey, and are these struggles a bit of a concern for you?
Big concern. I mean, Matt Harvey, who for the first couple of years, you know, the Dark Knight and the Mystique and all that stuff, he loved that role. And now he looks into the cameras and he says, I don't know what's wrong and the ball doesn't feel right coming out of my hand and I can't figure out how to fix it. And he's searching. He's really searching for answers right now. He threw a pitch 97 yesterday and he was consistently 94, 95. And I don't know if it's too many innings coming off Tommy John surgery, that he threw too many innings last year with the run to the playoffs. That could be it. You know, sometimes when a pitcher's arm isn't right, it's not just the velocity goes down. Sometimes the velocity is pretty close to normal, but they lose their feel. They lose their command. He gave up 2 home runs on changeups yesterday that just kind of hung over the plate. It's not a pitch that he throws all that often. He's searching for it right now. And you know, when a guy like Harvey or earlier in his career, Steven Strasburg, like these guys never struggled their whole life until they get to the majors. I think it's better when you struggle in the minors or college or high school or wherever, and you have to figure some stuff out. It's tough to figure stuff out for the first time at the major league level, and I think that's what Harvey's going through right now.
Last one for me. Yu Darvish is set to make his season debut on Saturday. They've announced the pitch count cap at 90. He hasn't pitched in the big league since 2014. Just maybe a tough one to answer, but Dan, your thoughts on Yu Darvish as he makes his way back from Tommy John surgery?
It's a huge pickup for Texas. I mean, eventually, if he's healthy and pitching well, he'll get up over 100 pitches. And you know, you talk about him and Cole Hamels at the top of a rotation on what's already a very good team. This is big for Texas. And I don't see any reason, especially because they're monitoring the pitch count. With the way Darvish, the number of different pitches he can throw and the command that he has, he doesn't need to overpower people to be good. And I think he can kind of you know, feel his way back into this. And they're a good team in a division along with Seattle, but it looks like they're starting to distance themselves from some of the other teams. I think they can afford to go a little bit slowly with him and just ease him back into the rotation and into a normal pitch count. I think this is a very big thing for Texas.
Dan Shulman's with us from ESPN Sunday Night Baseball and Sportsnet Blue Jays Baseball. One more for you, Dan. It's the Dodgers and the Mets on Sunday Night Baseball this week, just to set us up for what we might see come Sunday night.
Well, as a broadcaster, we're awfully, our crew, we're all awfully excited that Clayton Kershaw is going to be pitching in that game. So that's, they're going to be talk about, obviously. He's not bad. He's okay. You know, if you like, 95 strikeouts and 5 walks.
Yeah, if you like strikeouts, he's pretty good.
Three Cy Youngs, it's pretty good. So, we're awfully excited about it. He's the, you know, the top pitcher of his generation, or however you want to say it. And if his next 8-9 years are healthy and anything like his last 8-9 years, he's going to go down as one of the very best pitchers in baseball history. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And on the other side, Bartolo Colon goes for the Mets, and that's always entertaining. You never know what you're going to get, whether it'll be a basket catch or a home run. Or, but you know what? 43 years of age, 285 pounds is what he's listed at, and pounds the strike zone with his fastball and says, here it is, hit it, I dare you. And I admire him, and he's fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to it.
Dan, thank you so much for coming on a day early, and thank you so much for the time, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, you got it.
There you go. Dan Shulman is our Major League Baseball insider. He usually joins us on Thursday, but an early Jays game... An early Jays game tomorrow means he can't join us tomorrow, so he joined us today instead. Always good to talk some baseball with Dan Shulman from Major League Baseball, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, and Sportsnet Blue Jays Baseball. By the way, the Blue Jays and New York Yankees scoreless, top of the first inning right now. Yankees pitching right now. The Jays have runners on first and third with two outs, so we'll see if the Jays can drive home a run. Top of the first, scoreless Jays and Yankees as it stands right now. It is a busy, busy night when it comes to the world of sports. So, Jays and Yankees are already underway. That's number one. Coming up at 6:30, it is Game 5 of the NBA's Eastern Conference Final, as the Toronto Raptors will look to take a 3-2 series lead on the Cleveland Cavaliers. That game tips off at 6:30, and very much interested in how this game goes. Because, as I said a little earlier, just imagine for a second, if you can, if the Raptors are able to come away with a victory tonight. Just imagine for a second if Toronto's able to pick up their first road win of this series and take their first lead of this series and come home with Game 6 in their building and an opportunity to advance to their first ever NBA Finals. I mean, it's going to be pandemonium in that place of the ACC for Game 6 regardless, but it is going to be absolutely ridiculous if they're able to win tonight. Now, problem is, winning in Cleveland has not been easy so far in this series, because not only did they lose their first two games of this series in Cleveland, they got absolutely hammered by the Cavs in the first two games by a, you know, combined deficit of 50 points. It was stupid how much better the Cavs were in those two games. Now, the Raptors closed the gap. They've got all the momentum going into Game 5 tonight, but that's a big dragon to slay going into Cleveland and winning Game 5 in their building. And to Kyle Lowry of the Raptors, coming off a 35-point performance in game number 4, knows the Raps will have to work hard this evening.
We got to try to find a way. We got to play harder and execute, understand what we have to do to withstand the runs and the physicality, their momentum in this building.
Now, what scares me a little bit is what happened in the second half of game number 4, after the Cavs could not make a shot, especially from beyond the arc in the first half of game number 4. What they did in the second half was ridiculous. All they did was hit threes. They were much better from the field. It was just a much better shooting second half from the Cavs after, you know, 6 straight quarters of, you know, really, really brutal shooting. So that worries me a little bit, because you're like, okay, is that maybe more what we've come to expect from the Cavaliers? And they've lost 2 in a row, and they're returning home for game number 5. And DeMar DeRozan of the Raps knows that's going to be a fired up Cavs team tonight.
We got to come out here and play extremely hard. You know, exert all energy that we have, you know, this evening. And, you know, really play with our backs against the wall, because we understand they're going to come out extremely hard tonight.
And Dwayne Casey, the head coach of the Raptors, Not worried about his group. He says they'll be ready for tonight.
We should be ready for the noise and used to it. It was a very competitive series in the Miami series and one in Indiana. And the fans here are great fans and loud. And, we've experienced that.
And just one clip from apparently Canada's new public enemy number one, LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who had himself a pretty dominant series at times, specifically the first two games, and the Raptors were able to slow him down a little bit through games three and games four. But we all know that LeBron James is the best player in this series, but the Cavs have lost two straight games. But LeBron says what happened in the past is the past. It's all about what's coming next.
You know, you win some, you lose some. You know, it's how you put your... If I give them all, then I'm always satisfied with my the way I play the game. So, I look forward to the opportunity, to be a part of it once again. I mean, it's a Game 5 in Eastern Conference Finals. Who shouldn't be excited about
and
it?
Game 6 coming your way at 6:30 tip-off. Sportsnet West has got this one tonight. The Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And again, just close your eyes and think what an atmosphere it would be. Game 6 of the NBA Final in Toronto is going to be ridiculous regardless. But if they've got an opportunity to win in advance to the NBA Final, whew, that is something to behold. It is stunning to think that the Toronto Raptors are two wins away from the NBA Final. The Toronto Raptors, who have been spurned by player after player, and not because Toronto's a bad city, not because Canada's a bad country, but just for a lot of different reasons. You know, Tracy McGrady didn't want to stay, and Chris Bosh decided to chase titles, and why wouldn't you in Miami? But the Raptors and Vince Carter, you know, there was always questions about could Vince Carter win the big game, and then Vince Carter left, and it's never worked out this way for the Raptors before. They've never been a laughing stock, but they've also been a team that nobody's really ever taken seriously before in the postseason. Well, people have had to take them seriously now, and the Cavaliers have had to figure out this is a group they've got to take seriously as well. We'll see how seriously they take them when the ball tips at 6:30. And then it all finishes with Game 6 of the Western Conference Final, 7 o'clock faceoff from the SAP Center in San Jose. More on that game around the corner. Would you like to win $40,000 worth of landscaping from City Green Landscapes? I mean, the question should be not would you like to, but more why haven't you entered for the contest yet? Because we are teaming up with David Feek and City Green Landscapes for our Sportsnet 960 backyard reno. City Green is all about outdoor transformations. So they've got $40,000 plus of landscaping to give you. It includes outdoor lighting, so it's year-round experience in that regard, plus the paving stone patio, plus when it's cold, you got the fire pit. You've got the four-zone irrigation. They're going to make your backyard look gorgeous, some shade with some trees and some shrubs, going to have some perennials for some color. You're going to have the grass being absolutely gorgeous and green, sod, garden mix, mulch, a water feature to finish it all off. If you'd like to win $40,000 worth of landscaping, go to sportsnet.ca/960 and click on the contest page. It's all brought to you by City Green Landscapes, featuring Eagle Lake Landscape Supplies. David Feek and City Green Landscapes create landscaping projects done right. More at citygreenlandscapes.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. We've got the latest from San Jose as the Sharks look to punch their ticket for the first time ever to the Stanley Cup Final. That's next on The Big Show here on Sportsnet 960.
The big interviews, the big stories, the big opinions. It's The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 Calgary.
Well, it is uncharted territory for the San Jose Sharks in the Western Conference Final. They are one game away, one win away from reaching the Stanley Cup Final for the first time ever. But head coach Peter DeBoer, his team's going to be ready, not worried about how his group's going to be tonight.
It's such a hard trophy to win. It's such a hard league to advance, even as far as we are right now. And history's showing that it's rare air you're breathing, and I think these guys more than anybody recognize that, and they want to take advantage of that.
So we'll see if the Sharks have their mental game where it needs to be tonight. I don't really have a lot of worry as to whether or not they're going to be in the right spot or not. I don't have a lot of worry as to whether or not they're going to be good to go this evening, because pretty much what we've seen from this group throughout is that they've been able to face the pressure. They've been able to, when games are on the line, when elimination time has come, they've been good. And I know there's this reputation about this team choking or this team not being able to get the job done. Well, this team's been able to get the job done so far this year. And now we'll see if they can do it again in an elimination situation. First time of this series against the St. Louis Blues. So far, they're 1-1 in two and one in elimination games because they went 1-0 against the Kings and 1-1 against Nashville. Lost game 6 with an opportunity to advance, and then won game 7 back on home ice. This is the first time they can advance in the Western Conference Final. Hoping to hook up with Sportsnet's Mark Spector, who is in San Jose, getting set for game 6 of the Western Conference Final, which is about 90 minutes away from the SAP Center. Looks like Mark is a little predisposed at the moment and away from his phone. So we'll see if we can hook up with Mark at some point here in the next little bit. By the way, it is scoreless Blue Jays and Yankees. That game is in the top of the second inning at Yankee Stadium. So Peter DeBoer says his group is going to be ready. And he says that because he's got a lot of veterans on this team. He's got a lot of guys who have been deep before and who have been in elimination situations before. Here's a little bit more from San Jose's head coach.
These guys are experienced guys. They've had all kinds of experiences over the years here, despite not getting to a Stanley Cup. And they know to stay in the moment. They're a battle-hardened group. They understand that.
I've been asking the question today. I asked it to Eric DeHatchick and to Al Morganti on the East-West Hot Stove. Asked it to Rob Volman when we did Hockey Abstract as well. What's the biggest difference with this Sharks team and the group that has been able to go as deep as they have and the team that in years past has not really been able to live up to expectations? I mean, we all know what the reputation of the San Jose Sharks has been. And to me, I mean, there's a couple of different things that have played into it. First of all, the number one area that you look to is goaltending. And I don't think Martin Jones is one of the elite NHL goaltenders, but I think he's certainly been a big difference. But I thought Rob Volman made a really good point, the acquisition of Paul Martin to free up Brent Burns, how Brent Burns has turned into one of the NHL's most dynamic and dangerous, not just defensemen, but players, period. And I think there was a couple of those couple periphery depth moves. I think Joel Ward, I think Jonas Donskoy, those moves have really been able to help get this Sharks team to a spot where here they are, uncharted territories for San Jose as we're about 90 minutes away from puck drop of Game 6 of the Western Conference Final. My name is Pat Steinberg, and his name is Mark Spector from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca, joining us live from Northern California right now. Hello, Speck, how are you?
Oh, doing pretty fair. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm curious as to where you are on this series. You've had an opportunity to see every game of the Western Conference Finals so far, and this is a brand new era for the San Jose Sharks. They've never been in the Stanley Cup Final, let alone a win away from a Stanley Cup Final before. I'm just curious as to the type of feeling, the type of buzz you're getting from that Sharks team right now.
Well, you know, it's funny. We've always watched the Sharks, and they've become this. You know, when a team's good and doesn't succeed for a period of time, like, say, Washington, we go, oh, they're the San Jose Sharks of the East. Or, you know, these guys like the Sharks, they never get it done. And it's true, like, they've been so good for so long that the fact that they haven't made the next step is we sometimes confuse an organization that isn't good with an organization that just isn't good in the third round, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So they've been on the precipice. You know, I think since 2003-04, there's only one team that's played more playoff series than the San Jose Sharks. And if San Jose wins this series tonight, they're going to tie Detroit. So that makes them, you know, the best playoff, the most frequent playoff visitor in the league. And they haven't won yet, and they haven't got to the Cup. And I think they're ready because they got a really good team.
You feel like it's a pretty loose group? You feel like it's a group that is very much ready for the challenge in front of them?
Absolutely, because it's not the same group. Like, for instance, their leading scorers now are Joe Pavelski and Logan Couture and Brent Burns. And although, you know, Joe Thornton's got 17 points, I think, and he's a huge part of this thing, it's not him and Pat Marleau and everybody else anymore. Right? It's not the same team that used to go in where if you could check Jumbo and Patty, you could likely win the game. Those days are gone. So, yeah, I think they don't carry the past with them the way us on the outside want to remind them of the past. That's for sure. I think they don't carry it with them at all. And I know that a guy like, let's face it, Thornton, 36 years old, he wants to get there badly. But he's got a lot of help here. I think at some point here they should be able to pull this off.
Just a thought on Joe Pavelski, because you mentioned how he's kind of the guy leading the way. Logan Couture, Brent Burns, those are the three that have been kind of the offensive leaders for this team. But just a thought on Joe Pavelski, who another game-winning goal in Game 5 a couple nights ago. I mean, the guy just has a knack for when games are at their most important, he's right there scoring the big goal.
Well, I'll tell you what, I once, at one point this year, covered a game out east, and I had a couple beers, and I was watching TV, and I was the only thing on was a Sharks game because it was quite late after I'd filed, and I'm tweeting away, and Joe Pavelski scores two fabulous goals, and I tweet that I think he's the best American player. Well, I got inundated with people telling me that Patty Kane is, and I'm an idiot. So, you know what? We could have that debate, but I think I'm changing my mind a little bit in that, you know, maybe Patty Kane's the best American player. I'm not sure about that. But I'll tell you what, if they picked an Olympic team tomorrow, I think Joe Pavelski is the captain of that team. Is that fair?
I think so. I think that's absolutely fair. And I don't think, and to be honest with you, Speck, I don't think you're all that off base on, and I'm not saying Patrick Kane's not an incredible player. He's going to win the Hart Trophy this year. The guy's unbelievable. But Joe Pavelski is, in terms of what he does in the all-round game and the consistent goal scoring that he's put up over the last 5, 6, 7 years, I mean, I don't think you're off base at all suggesting that.
No, and he is, you know, his hand-eye, like for instance, he's become the best tipper of the puck in the National Hockey League. You know, everybody says Patrick Hornquist is real good at it, and I know that he is. But I'll tell you right now, little Joel gets his stick on pucks with the regularity that a guy named Thomas Holmstrom used to. And he's a better all-around player, mm-hmm. you know, everywhere else on the ice. His work at redirecting shots with guys on his back, that alone is incredible. And he's the guy that, you know, when you have a Joe Thornton, who's a world-class Hall of Fame dish man, right? He's the best passer, one of the best of his generation. When you have that guy, you need someone that finds the open spot. You need the recipient, right? You know, Gretzky always needed his Curry and so forth. Well, Joe has made an industry here, little Joe, out of getting to the spot where that power play pass from Joe Thornton can land on his stick and he puts it away. He's one of the best players in the league today. There's no doubt about it. Canadian, American, whatever.
One more thought on the Sharks, and just give me kind of an overall overarching feel. You're in San Jose. This is a spot the Sharks have never been. What's the atmosphere like in San Jose? How much of a buzz is there in that town right now?
It's really good. I've always thought that this may be Gary Bettman's best Sun Belt expansion town, you know? People would say, well, what about Tampa? And that's a fair argument. That's a real good hockey town. You know, Dallas was good in its day, fell off, and maybe it's coming back some. But this is a really good town. And I know their attendance has taken a little bit of a hit the last couple of years because, you know, between the economy and a whole bunch of stuff. But now you've got the Bay Area going pretty strong, right? I think the Giants are still in first place. I know the Golden State Warriors are the team that everybody's worried about here and talking about. And the Sharks are making a long run and still getting great support here in San Jose. The place is, you know, if there's an empty ticket in that house it's not because it wasn't sold. It's because the guy who bought it also has Warriors tickets. I don't even know if they're playing tonight.
Yeah, they're not even playing tonight, so that's good. He has no excuse now.
He'll be full tonight. And you know, if Calgary had an NBA team that was in the Final Four, you'd have to make your choice between them and the Flames, too, and it's not an easy choice, but the point is, it's a good town with good fans. There's a billion jerseys walking around town every day. It's not that far off of being in a Canadian city, because this is really the only pro team that bears the name San Jose, and yep. They've already retaken that to heart here.
He's Mark Spector joining us from San Jose as we're about 90 minutes away from Game 6 of the Western Conference Final. Sharks lead the Blues 3-2. So, Spec, Brian Elliott back between the pipes for St. Louis tonight after sitting for two. Jake Allen goes 1-1 as he gets two starts. Just your overall thoughts on how St. Louis has handled their goaltenders.
Well, yeah, I don't think they've handled him poorly. I don't think Ken Hitchcock's really had a choice. I didn't mind putting Allen in when he put him in for game 4 of this series. I think that was a good coaching move. I think everybody's overstepped the bounds on, you know, they hadn't scored goals in game two or game three. So you change your goalie and they come out and score. What did they score that day? Four goals, I think? Five?
Yeah, I mean, they went big that night, yeah.
They went big that night. I'm not saying that Jake Allen's the reason the puck's going in the net at the other end. I think that's a little much. And I think the thing people forget is Jake Allen was supposed to be the starter on this team, right? He was supposed to be the guy, and he only lost that job to injury. So Brian Elliott came along, and he's had the best run of his life. I mean, he's not many steps beyond being a journeyman goalie in his career. And he reminds me very much of Dwayne Rolison in 2006, who was never considered to be a great goalie, but he sure as heck was for 2 months. So I think Hitchcock got it figured out here that this is the guy that's bottom here. This is the guy they're going to go with. And I would be surprised if the Blues kept playing. I would be surprised if we see any more Jake Allen this spring.
Well, and Elliott's the type of guy that is, like, all he's ever done in his NHL career is battle. All he's ever done is have to work tooth and nail for what he's accomplished. So I would
be in the league, job, absolutely.
Exactly. So I kind of feel like, you know, he's probably going to have a pretty, whether it's good enough for a win, I don't know, but I feel like he's going to have a pretty solid bounce back performance tonight.
Yeah, I don't think the goaltenders are really the story in this series for sure. Nobody's stolen a game, I can tell you that. You know, we've not left the rink once and said, oh, man, the better team. And maybe in game one a little bit, maybe Elliott had, you know, a little bit to do with that. But generally speaking, the goalies have not been bad. The teams that have won have been. And what we haven't seen in this series is two teams with their A game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still kind of waiting to see it. Both teams play three really good periods. I'm not sure we've had that yet in this series, have we?
So you've seen the Blues quite a bit. You saw them in round two. You've seen them in this third round against San Jose now. Here they are with, for the first time, they truly are facing elimination, not even in a Game 7 scenario. I'm curious as to how you expect them to respond. Do they have another win in them? Can they get this thing back to St. Louis?
Yeah, I think they win tonight. You know what convinced me? What convinced me was watching Pittsburgh play last night. Pittsburgh came out with a conviction that you can only find at this time of year in this type of game, right? The Pittsburgh Penguins, I don't know what happened in Game 7 over there, but they weren't ready to go home in Game 6. And they were just more than Tampa could handle, I thought, last night. And I know that St. Louis has that game in them. I really do. I feel like that the team would say to each other, look, we've gone this far. We're getting this thing home in Game 7. And, I'd like to trip home tomorrow myself, as much as any guy, for sure. I got flights booked to both destinations, but I have a feeling we're going to end up being talking from St. Louis tomorrow.
Good stuff, Spec. Appreciate it. Enjoy Game 6 in San Jose. Enjoy Game 6 of the Western Conference Final, and fly safe wherever your destination is tomorrow. Hey, pal.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me. Call anytime.
All right, Spec. We'll talk to you soon. Mark Spector from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca joining us here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 96 of the Fan as 7 o'clock is face-off in San Jose, SAP Center, for Game 6 of the Western Conference Final. As we start to move towards the end of the program, primetime sports coming your way at the top of the hour. Around the corner, though, 27 years ago, something pretty special happened. That's next on the Big Show, Sportsnet 960 the Fan.
Calgary sports fans get their fix on the Big Show. Steinberg, Kerr, Sportsnet 960.
27 years ago. What happened 27 years ago? Here we sit, May 25th of 2016. What happened on May 25th of 1989? No, it was not you graduating. But this text says, 27 years ago I graduated. Thanks for remembering, Pat. No, that was not what I was getting at. Although, congratulations on your graduation 27 years ago. No, 27 years ago, where were you? Were you on Electric Ave? Were you at home? Were you maybe lucky enough to be in Montreal? I know that for 25 guys, they were in the Montreal Forum doing something nobody has ever done before, and that is raise a Stanley Cup in Montreal's home barn. 27 years ago, May 25th, 1989, the Hall of Famer says it better than I do.
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there. Over at the penalty box, Jim Poplinski and Tim Hunter, not dressed tonight, have joined Al MacInnis. They've got their sweats on, and the Calgary Flames have won the Stanley Cup! We're the winners! We're the winners! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! And the Flames coming out to celebrate out on the ice now as the Calgary Flames have won the Stanley Cup for the first time in their history. And they do it here in the Montreal Forum.
Yes, they did. Well, there you go. That is what happened 27 years ago. Peter Marr called it, and not all of us remember where we were. For instance, the gentleman talking to you right now can't exactly remember where. I have vague recollections of where I was. I was in the city, and I have vague recollections of like people on my street coming out and screaming and whooping it up, and that. But that's about all. And so I was at my house in Highwood with my parents, and I believe my uncle was over, and that's all I remember about 1989. However, I would imagine you might have better and more fond memories of the Calgary Flames winning their first ever Stanley Cup. I have much more vivid memories of their trip to the Stanley Cup in 2004. You know what? I'd totally forgotten that today was the anniversary until about 2 hours ago when 660 News was doing it. So 660 News is the one who tipped us off for the first time ever. 660 News helped out the sports station. But I was like, oh, that's right. And luckily, I knew exactly where the call was because I knew it was around this time. And I had remembered that it was May 25th, like 3 days ago. And was like, oh, yeah, on May 25th, we got to do something about that. And then totally forgot today. And luckily, we were reminded. So 27 years ago. The Calgary Flames won their first and only Stanley Cup, and they did it at the Montreal Forum. Still the only team to ever raise a Stanley Cup in Montreal's building, and they did it 27 years ago. I want to thank everybody on the program today for joining us. All the interviews up at sportsnet.ca/960. In the on-demand section, Matty Rose was our producer. And for William Nault, my name is Pat Steinberg. Up next, Primetime Sports with Bob McCown. And then that leads you up to 7 o'clock, puck drop from the SAP Center in San Jose for Game 6 of the Western Conference Final. Sharks lead the Blues 3-2 with an opportunity to advance to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time in team history. We will be live at Heritage Point tomorrow for the Calgary Flames Alumni Masters Golf Tournament. That is tomorrow on Hockey Central and the Big Show, but today that'll do it for the Big Show here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.